morning. You can tell that it's a little warmer, that the snow is melting, because a lot of people are out today, because Frank's church starts at 10:30, and I was looking, and it's like, wow, he's got a lot of people in the parking lot today. So I think it's just we're getting a little bit of cabin fever and anxious for spring. We talked to Frank's mom the other day, and she told us how many days there are until spring, but is it 58 or 52 or something? So is it? Well, spring will come, and then Easter will come after that. I think Easter is the last Sunday in April. I almost said March, and I thought, no, that's too soon. April. This will be the latest. It'll be until, I think, 2038. So we will have a long Epiphany season before Ash Wednesday comes. Well, it is good to see so many of you here this morning. We have an abundance of children, and thank God for all the tasks that need to be done on a Sunday morning to worship God and to the glory of God. So our youth are very involved. This is the fourth Sunday of Ordinary Time, these Sundays after Epiphany. And we do have a few announcements. Today, out at Trinity United Church of Christ in Louisville, from 5 to 7, they are having a soup dinner. It is free, so if you don't have any leftovers or don't feel like cooking or have a light meal at noon or a heavy meal at noon and want a light meal later, head on out to Trinity from 5 to 7. You are invited. It is a community meal. Also, if you have a few moments, this won't take long. It's mostly just to see interest for the women of the church. In the Presbyterian magazine Horizons, they always put information in there for the service, which is celebrating the gifts of women. We have not ever done that, and I thought, you know, it would be nice to try to do it this year. That Sunday is celebrated this year on February 27th. So if you're interested in either helping to put the service together, or you don't want to help do that, but you are interested in maybe reading or, you know, doing something special in the worship service, if you can hang around for just a few minutes so I can see who's interested and we can get our heads wrapped around that would be good, because next Sunday is the first Sunday of February. And since it is the first Sunday in February, we will be having communion. And I forget who's got the meal next week out at the Louisville Community Center. It's not Kiwanis. The bulletin was downstairs. It's the flyer. Team Monroe. That's right. Team Monroe next week, and I believe that's right after church. Isn't it like 11:30 to 1:32? The flyer is downstairs, and we have one back here as well. They will be having a meal at next week. It'll be at the Louisville Community Center. So take a look at that. Yeah, last week, it was at Westwood Landing last week. Next week, I did say, is communion session. Not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday, February 8th, 7 o'clock here. Other announcements? Ashley. Right. Purchase a key for the Clavinova. $30 a key, either your name or anonymous, and put it in the collection plate. That'll be the best way to do that as we move forward with our music ministry and our choir. So, any other announcements? Any at all? Yes, Emma. You will light the candles when I'll motion to you, and then you can come with me, all right? And we'll go back, and we'll light the candles. Actually, we're getting ready to do it here in just a couple of seconds. Are there any other announcements or questions? Well, we also welcome those who will be worshiping with us through our CD ministry. And again, if you have the jackets, bring those on in so we can recycle those and be good stewards of that. Hear these words of Scripture this Sunday. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor and release to the captives. Let us worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lovely. Let us rise in spirit and heart for our call to worship this Sunday. We are blessed when we hunger for justice and thirst for righteousness. Our souls are filled with God's hope and grace. We are blessed when we grieve over the brokenness of the world, choosing as God does to be with those who are weak and powerless. We are blessed when we become God's fools, willing to do what is right,
not what is expected by others, not what is easy to do.
Let us join together in our prayer of the day, as it is a responsive prayer. The hills sing of your hopes, and the valleys echo your dreams. Holy God, of a world where we catch sight of you in the innocent hearts of children, where we listen to the wisdom of souls willing to be weak, where we find the home we long for in your heart's brokenness. Teacher of our hearts, when we are generous to the poor, your kingdom of justice is built on earth. When we love kindness more than we do power, we are heirs of creation's grace. When we walk hand in hand with the humble-hearted, we are in step with you. When we share a picnic of hope and joy with the forgotten of the world, we follow you up the hill of faithfulness. Wisdom of weakness, when our differences with one another become stumbling blocks of life together in the Spirit, you come with your hopeful foolishness so your children might be at peace and a blessing of life to a world so in need of healing. God, in community here, now, holy in one, hear us as we pray through Christ's name. Amen. Our opening hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, number 138 in the Blue Hymnal. Around in our worship this Sunday. Over the past time, different people have said that they sometimes feel awkward or uncomfortable sharing their joys when we're having our time of sharing our prayer concerns, because sometimes the concerns are so deep or so intimate and personal that we feel uncomfortable lifting up a great joy. So I moved around our time of sharing God's blessings as we come together in worship. So I would ask at this time, what joys and blessings do you have that you would like to share this day as we come before the glory of God? The bright sunshine, amen. And it's going to be a little warmer for a few days. Joyce.
There are some Wiggins in the room that are healthier this week than they were last week.
Amen, and praise be to God for health and wellness of mind, body, and spirit. Others.
Well, Pete is still free of infection, and they scheduled surgery for February 23rd. He'll be in the hospital a week.
It is a good thing. Go ahead, sorry. Yes. Pete has been on our prayer list now for some time with the infection. He is infection free. They're going to go in and do some surgery on February 23rd. To help the wound continue, to begin really healing. And so they're hoping that they're in the home stretch and praying that they're in the home stretch. So that is a joy. And some of you may notice the big black Popemobile kind of car that's out there this Sunday. That is the rental that we have. And because we had a little fender bender over in Moundsville as we were heading over to Lancaster, PA. Last Sunday, and Frank was saying, I was hoping we could keep this quiet. And I said, oh, please. You've got to be kidding me. So anyway, but we are really thankful. Just, we were maneuvering the wrong way, the wrong time, and sometimes two vehicles are trying to occupy the same space. And we are just really thankful that no one was hurt, and there was only one person in the other car. So we are considerably thankful and joyful that all is well. So, what other joys that we have? Nice to have our visitor with us this morning. Do you want to identify yourself, Stacy? It was nice to have you back with us. So, any others?
Susan.
Yes. Good. We will continue to keep them in our prayers. And yes, it came flooding back. Yeah, we forget how important water is to our lives until we don't have easy access. Any other joys? I'm thankful for the prelude this morning. That was just beautiful. And I don't know if it's because I've been gone a week, but even the organ just sounded more robust this morning. So I don't know. It's just the gift of music. I'm thankful that we have you here for that, Luann. But that was a beautiful prelude. Thanks be to God. That would be. The word got out. No. Yeah. I didn't know you weren't here. It's good to have you back. Any others? Let us enter into our time of confession as we prepare to hear God's holy word. God knows the intent of our hearts as we come in this time of repentance now. Are we intent on doing justice? Do we love mercy? Are we ready to walk humbly with our Creator God? If so, God is ready to hear our prayers. Let us pray together, saying, You have shown us, O God, what is good, what is blessed, yet we behave as if we have never seen either goodness or blessedness. The poor, those who mourn, the weak, the merciful,
We read the list, then promptly forget the imperative to make all things new in you. Forgive us for our blindness, we pray. Forgive us for failing to see the glaring needs of those who surround us. Forgive us for our lack of kindness and humility. Forgive us, God of hope, and bless us with your mercy. By your peace, we can do justice. By your love, we can act kindly. By your grace, we can walk with you as humbly as did our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be better people. We ask under the mercy of your Son, Christ our Lord. Amen. You are invited into a time of silent prayer and reflection. Amen. It is through foolishness that God makes us wise. It is through weakness that God strengthens us to serve. It is through forgiveness that God makes us whole. We cannot boast in what we have done, but only in the grace and joy of our God, who showers us with mercy. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. O God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the way of love. Amen.
The first reading today is from Micah 6, 1 through 8. Listen to the Lord's case against Israel. Arise, O Lord, and present your case. Let the mountains and the hills hear what you say. You mountains, you everlasting foundations of the earth, listen to the Lord's case. The Lord has a case against his people. He's going to bring an accusation against Israel. The Lord says, "My people, what have I done to you? How have I been a burden to you? Answer me. I brought you out of Egypt. I rescued you from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to lead you. My people, remember what King Balak of Moab planned to do to you, and how Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. Remember the things that happened on the way from the camp in Acacia to Gilgal. Remember those things, and you will realize what I did in order to save you. What shall I bring to the Lord, the God of heaven, when I come to worship him? Shall I bring the best calves to burn as offerings to him? Will the Lord be pleased if I bring him thousands of sheep and endless streams of olive oil. Shall I offer him my firstborn child to pay my sins? No, the Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this: to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God. The responsive reading is Psalm 15, found on page 601. And this side of the church will sing the, say the odd number of verses.
I want to hear him sing.
Yes. Pastor Susan's side is going to sing the even number of verses.
Oops.
And we'll all join in on verse 5, the last one. Psalm 15. Lord, who may enter your temple? You have worshipped in Zion, your sacred hill.
A person who obeys God in everything and always does what is right, whose words are true and sincere.
And who does not slander others. He does no wrong to his friends, nor spreads rumors about his neighbors.
He despises those whom God rejects, but honors those whom obey the Lord. He always does what he promises, no matter how much it may cost.
He makes loans without charging interest, and cannot be bribed to testify against the innocent. Whoever does these things will always be secure. Our second reading today comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. That's on page 221 of the Pew Bible, if anybody wants to follow along. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost. But for us who are being saved, it is God's power. The scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and set aside the understanding of the scholars. So then, where does that leave the wise, or the scholars, or the skillful debaters of this world? God has shown that this world's wisdom is foolishness. For God in his wisdom made it impossible for people to know him by means of their own wisdom. Instead, by means of this so-called foolish message we preach, God decided to save those who believe. Jews want miracles for proof, and Greeks look for wisdom. As for us, we proclaim the crucified Christ, a message that is offensive to the Jews and nonsense to the Gentiles. But for those whom Christ has called, both Jews and Gentiles, this message is Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For what seems to be God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and what seems to be God's weakness stronger than human strength. Now remember what you are, my brother, what you were, my brothers, when God called you. From the human point of view, very few of you were wise or powerful or of any high social standing. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise, and he chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. He chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. This means that no one can boast in God's presence. But God has brought you into union with Christ Jesus, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him, we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done.
Our gospel lesson this day. Oh, I have a hymn in there. Let us sing before our gospel reading. And I did this intentionally. We are going to sing, "Lord, I Want to Be a Christian," number 372 in the blue hymnal. Our gospel lesson this day is found in the Gospel according to Matthew on the Pew Bible on page 5. And I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Again, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of glory, God of mercy, God of blessings. We humbly come before you this day to hear your word, to understand your word, to grow into your word. Be with us now, that the meditations of my hearts and the meditations of all our hearts, now and as we go forth, your people, might be acceptable to you. In your holy and triune name, we pray these things, O Lord, through Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was preparing for this sermon, I had the strangest song that kept coming to my mind. And so I finally decided to pull it up on the internet and just look at this song. It may be one that might be familiar to some of you, depending on your age. To others, it won't be. But the name of the song was from 1980 by Mac Davis. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be one heck, words changed, of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. I used to have a girlfriend, but she just couldn't compete with all of these love-starved women who keep clamoring at my feet. Well, I'll probably could find another, but I guess they're all in awe of me. Who cares? I never get lonesome, 'cause I treasure my own company. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I just get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be one heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. I guess you could say I'm a loner, a cowboy outlaw, tough and proud. I could have lots of friends if I want to, but then I wouldn't stand out in the crowd. Some folks say that I'm egotistical. Heck, I don't even know what that means. I guess it has something to do with the way that I fill out my tight, skin-tight blue jeans. Oh Lord, it is hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I really can't wait to look in the mirror, because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be one heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. We're doing the best that we can. I was caught by that last line. I had to go back out of curiosity just to find out what all the words were in there. But that last line, we're doing the best that we can, speaks to all of us as the scripture does this day. It is hard to be humble. And when we listen to the Beatitudes, and as sometimes you'll see them, you'll see a little article in the paper or something somewhere that calls them the Beatitudes. It can seem overwhelming, I think. I mean, when you really sit down and read them, it almost seems like an impossible task. And maybe that's the place where we should start from, is that, well, the Beatitudes are a place for us to enter into God's Spirit. And if we just sit down and honestly say, this is really hard to do, that's the first step in being humble. To humbly come before God and just admit, this is tough because we're not perfect. And then to hear the invitation into these words of scripture. As you listen to both Micah, and I encourage you to go home and reread these scriptures this day, Micah, the Psalm, 1 Corinthians, my goodness, we could probably take those four texts and just stay with them all year. There's a lot of work to be done there. There's a lot that we're called to in these words in Scripture. We're invited to seek and find the action of God in the world, the Beatitudes. And we're invited to see these actions of God in the most unexpected people, the poor, the mourners, the peacemakers, the persecuted. That's a tough place to go. Their lives, now in the present, hold the blessing and transformational power of God. For that is what we're all called through Christ to be into, is a time and an existence of transformation in our own lives. We watched this week in Egypt as a people struggle for justice. And out of their rage and their anger and the destruction, world leaders have said, stop the destruction and let's have peace. Let's come to the table together and seek justice and stop the pillaging. But they are seeking justice for a people. They're seeking wholeness in their lives. And isn't that what we all want? That's probably why we get so up in arms when we feel just tied into some existences in our lives, particularly in the middle class. We seek justice. We want justice for ourselves, but at the same time, we want justice for all people. And we want peace, really. We want all our young men and women to come home and just be able to be with their families. We seek peace in this world. But it's a peace that transcends just our earthly existence. It's a peace that is just at the very core of our beings. And we are being led by this sermon of Jesus's on a journey toward the beautiful vision of God, God's kingdom here on earth that we pray each week in the Lord's Prayer, God's kingdom on earth, that it might be at the center, the very center of our lives, every day, every moment, this peace and justice and wholeness. We want this to be God's dwelling place in us in the world. But it's not like that. And as we listen to Jesus say these words to us, blessed are the poor and blessed are the meek. And meek is another word for humble. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. In some ways, it seems as though Jesus is being a little bit irrational with us and just impractical. But if we approach these admonishments to us, to hear, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, we will hopefully begin to look for the challenges in our lives where we can be faithful disciples of the cross. Because that is what Christ died for, that all might have justice, all might have peace, and all might be reconciled to the love of God through Christ. So as we strive daily to live into the spirit of what Jesus is saying to us this day in the Beatitudes, there is an invitation to each of us to a way to be in the world, to be a Christian. I mean, it's easy after all, really, when you come right down to it, to say, well, yes, I'm a Christian. I practice the Christian faith. But it's kind of harder when we think about being Christian, being Christ-like in everything that we do. So here are three principles to maybe narrow it down a little bit more simply. Three principles of living into the spirit of the Beatitudes. And these three principles are simplicity, hopefulness, and compassion. Simplicity, hopefulness, and compassion all offer an alternative to what our culture and the world really strive for, because most people are striving for control and power, and the more we strive for control and power, the more complicated everything seems to get. So with simplicity, one of the first places to start is to not enter into our own prejudices that may come, including deciding that, well, these tasks are all just too difficult and impossible for us, and, well, we can just sort of close the Bible and set the Bible neatly back on the kitchen table or our bedside table or our coffee table and visit them 3 years from now when they'll come back up in the lectionary. But when we receive the courage of them, the courage of the Beatitudes, rather than fear, when we hear Jesus say, "You are blessed in this life," whenever you act with humility, you bring a peaceful presence when you open your heart to others and enter into their lives. And you are blessed when you show mercy and grace to someone who desperately needs and is crying for someone to be gracious and merciful to them. Go home and read the Beatitudes that way. Blessed are you, Mark, Sarah, Shirley, Erlene, Tim, Bob, Delvin, Mary, Carol, Wally, Bill, Joyce, Bart, blessed are you. Blessed are you, Lois, Brady, and I forget that's right, and your granddaughter, Laura. Blessed are you. And Stacy, Jeanette, Cheyenne, Dick, Marlene, Luann, Ashley, Emma, Connell, Tom, Ruth, Ruby, Donna, Loretta, Isla, Bob, Peggy, Pandora. I'm sure there were others. Who else? Ben. Couldn't see him down there. Ben. Vera, she listens. Blessed are you. Blessed Joyce. Blessed are you. Yeah, Amanda, Jacob, Josh, Danny, Carol, Chuck, so many. We could probably sit here for another half hour coming up with more names, those that we love. Mick is not here with us today. Blessed are you in this life. It changes the way we hear this message, and hopefully it leads us into a place of seeking hopefulness around us, because it's easy in this world to become hopeless. Jürgen Moltmann stated that the death knell of the church is when the overall attitude of the church moves from anger, because we should be angry when there isn't justice and peace and mercy in this world, to cynicism. Cynicism has decided to accept whatever is. Cynicism offers little hope.
When we begin to say, well, this is just the way things are and we really can't do anything about it, even as the church, he says, Moltmann says, that is the death of the church. Because the Beatitudes, in what they are, the Spirit offers us and invites us to a place of living into hopefulness, a place where we live in hope with Christ, who makes all things new and can transform even saints and sinners and hypocrites like you and me. Simplicity, hopefulness, and compassion. We are hopeful when we stand in the world and in our community, sure of the possibility that a new day will come when mercy and humility and peace and love and justice are the ways we describe the world, not from the cynical place that we would describe it now. And lastly, compassion, not pity or sympathy. Compassion goes deeper. For pity is just feeling sorry for someone, and sympathy is understanding their experience and then offering our 2 cents or our advice. Sincerely, I'm sure, but that is not compassion. Henry Nouwen says of compassion, I have to find my paper. Henry Nouwen says these words of compassion. Compassion grows with the inner recognition that your neighbors share your humanity with you. This partnership cuts through all walls which might have kept you separate, across all barriers of land and language, wealth and poverty, knowledge and ignorance. We are one, created from the same dust, subject to the same laws, destined for the same end. Compassion. We all share the gift of being created in the image of God. This is what we belong to, one family, all humanity. Simplicity, hopefulness, compassion with a humble heart. Through study, through common prayer, through fellowship, service in our community, gathering around this table as we humbly come before our God, we grow into blessedness. Some of you may recall this past fall, Karen Binford and I went over to Pittsburgh Theological Seminary to be with Graham Standish, who wrote the book Becoming a Blessed Church, forming a church of spiritual purpose, presence, and power. Becoming a blessed church, not just being a blessed person. Living into the spirit of the Beatitudes with intention and commitment. Living into simplicity, hopefulness, and compassion through humility of our spirit. This is something we all can do. It's not impossible or irrational, but a truly rational way of being. The only possible way for us as Christians to live our lives, living into the spirit of the divine mystery of God, as we are called to follow Christ, to walk humbly with our God, to love, to seek justice, peace, mercy. A way to be Christian in the world. Not so impossible with God. Amen. Do we have special music this day? I wasn't sure. Okay.
This is our time now where we share our prayer concerns with one another. Joyce.
We should have prayer concerns for our winter shut-ins. We have Betty Weber and Betty Ball, Colleen Rader and Ruth Weber. They just came up.
Yes.
And that is about to be hard.
Yeah.
Hold them up in prayer.
We do.
Make it through this spring.
Yes.
Spring.
It's coming soon. Prayer for our shut-ins. And we miss them, but we also want them safe. Ashley.
I think Sean and family today and tomorrow.
Godspeed as Mick and Sean are traveling on the road today and tomorrow. Other prayer concerns? Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy Antle is looking well, but she has her chemo is 3 days.
Every 3 weeks
she does 3 days. So we continue to hold her in prayer, and she said that is what's getting her through. What others? Ashley. Lisa Brown passed away last week, so we hold her family in prayer, and her parents are? Paul and Mary Sue Brown are her parents, so we hold them in prayer with their loss. Any others? Joyce.
Our waitress at Tom's had her baby, and we don't know how old she is, we don't even know what her name is, but Jessica.
And we hold Jessica in prayer. Waitress at Tom's, for those of us that go to Tom's. She has had her baby, and so we just keep them in prayer. Any others? Yes, Emma. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Prayers for all the gifts that we give to one another. Any others? Yes.
And John has Parkinson's. He's a young man, and he's going through the Parkinson thing. He is the father of the Justin Gibson that had the cancer in his arm, and he had his one of the bones in his arms replaced. And we had such good luck with him, with Justin.
Yeah. Well, so strength and courage for this family as they've climbed one mountain and are now climbing yet another big one. So that is John Gibson, who has been added to our weekly prayer list. Any others? Let us prepare our hearts for prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you now to raise our prayers of concern for friends and loved ones who are ill, for those who have suffered loss, for members of our church family who are not with us due to illness or distance or the weather. We ask, O Lord, that your watchful hand be placed upon them to bring them wholeness and healing, wellness of mind, body, and spirit, that you might keep them safe, grant them rest. We bring our prayers to you this day, O Lord, for our community. Strengthen it. May we know what it means to be one, to come together in a spirit of love and justice for all. We ask, O Lord, this day that you hear the prayers for our country, for our leaders, for our government. Move their spirits, move their hearts to seek your will, O Lord, for justice and love and peace, and may they be of humble mind and spirit. We pray for your church, O Lord, that we might rise up to your calling to be your light in the world, to be a beacon of hope, to be a place of grace and mercy that welcomes saint and sinner, hypocrite and humble one, the poor, the meek, the persecuted, those who suffer in this world. May we be a beacon of light to them. Grant us the strength and courage to reach out of these walls to them. We pray for your church. And we pray, O Lord, for those around the world, for all humanity, for the list this day, for those who suffer, the countries that are in turmoil from famine or flood or diseases of AIDS and malaria, for those who suffer from earthquakes and violence of upheaval as people seek justice. There is so much, there are so many that we would not know where to start, O Lord, so we ask that all creation might be open and led by your spirit of love in this world, that all may know the peace and love of Christ in their hearts and be called to a greater place of living as one in you. So hear our prayers this day, O Lord, as we release them to you. And hear our prayers for those that we call by name, as we have been asked to pray for them as a community of prayer. For Brenda Rice, Bill Rice, Gina Most, Sarah Hall, Glenna Joy Graham, Virginia Lee Morris, Jim Newhart, Reverend Robert Phillips, Sandra Turner, Tom Billings, Mary Jo Hammond, Jack Hammond, Sarah and Sean Galilean, Aiden Russell, Mike Caravelle, Carly Sue Williams, Ashley Shoemaker, John Patster, Mary Morris, Ronald Bob Howell, Linda Hanna, Jennifer Edgel, Monica Long, Sally Jackson, Gabriel Kayetta, Chuck Henning, Donna Beery, Mitch Clift, Danny Olam, Bob LaCrone, Isla Forney, Cecile Waters, Bill Hoag, Joe Fetty, Mike Hines, Charlotte Schuerman, Linda Andrews, Cindy Antle, Allison Shoemaker, Anita Sweeney, Ruby Seabaugh, Bonnie Bailey, John Wingate, John Gibson, and all who ask us to pray, O Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts. Being of one mind, one body, one spirit, let us now pray as Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And amen. We who have strayed return to the service of God's word in every action of our lives, in every offering, in every prayer. Pray together, saying, accept these gifts not as the fulfillment of our discipleship, but as a token of the offering of our lives to your service, serving God, living God, loving God. These things we pray humbly, yet confidently, and with clarity of faith. Amen. We know what the righteousness of God means and what we are to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Our closing hymn, amen. Amen, let God's people say amen. Our closing hymn, Called as Partners in Christ's Service, number 343.
Thank you.
Go with God, all you who are poor in spirit, you who mourn, you who are humble, you who hunger and thirst for justice, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and all of you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed, blessed, blessed are you. Amen.